This news brief brought to you by the International News Net.
U.S. officials say there's growing evidence Pakistan's ISI spy agency encouraged a Pakistani militant group, the Haqqani Network, to carry out last week's attack on the U.S. Embassy and NATO headquarters in Kabul. A U.S. Senate committee voted this week to make $1 billion in U.S. aid to flood-ravaged Pakistan, conditional on a crackdown on militant groups. Former Afghan President Burhanuddin Rabbani was killed Tuesday in a suicide bombing. A survivor of the attack, an aide to the former president, said Rabbani was lured to his death by the bomber, who claimed he was representing a mysterious figure mediating between the government and the Taliban's senior leadership. NATO leaders Wednesday authorized a 90-day extension of the alliance's mission in Libya. NATO began enforcement of a four-month no-fly zone over Libya in March. NATO fighter jets have flown more than 20,000 sorties over Libya, dropping thousands of bombs to take out Muammar Gaddafi's command centers and military materiel. Hundreds of civilians have been reported killed. Amnesty International says it has uncovered evidence that rebel forces in Libya have committed gross human rights abuses, some amounting to war crimes. The rights group also reveals the Western media deliberately ignored or covered up the widespread atrocities. In a report released Tuesday, Amnesty accuses the rebels of unlawful killings, arbitrary arrests, and widespread torture of civilians, mostly black foreigners. The report also confirms widely held concerns about the NTC's ability to unite the country and oversee a peaceful transition. Many attacks are focused on blacks suspected of being sympathetic to ousted dictator Muammar Gaddafi. The report states angry groups of supporters of the February 17th revolution shot, hanged, and lynched dozens of captured soldiers and suspected foreign mercenaries, and did so with total impunity. Gaddafi's supporters have accused NATO of killing up to 800 civilians. Amnesty says both the NTC and Gaddafi's forces are to blame. U.S. combat troops in Iraq may be heading to the exits, but the U.S. government's enormously expensive intervention there is hardly coming to an end. U.S. officials are planning to expand the gargantuan embassy in Baghdad, a heavily fortified, self-contained compound the size of Vatican City, by far the largest embassy the world has ever seen. Inside its high walls, guard towers and machine gun emplacements ring not just the embassy itself, but more than 20 other buildings. The number of personnel under the authority of the U.S. ambassador will swell from 8,000 to about 16,000.
More details on these stories, visit innworldreport.net.
You are listening to the Rule of Law Radio Network at ruleoflawradio.com. Live free speech talk radio at its best.
Hi, welcome to Truth News Radio Australia. It's the 2nd of February 2012. Welcome to another show. My name is Herewood Fenton, and Truth News Radio Australia is a podcast that attempts to connect the dots, attempts to bring you the information that's suppressed. It attempts to ungag the gagged and reach out to basically inform about things that we should already know about. Truth News Australia is not a professional media organisation. It is a handmade grassroots effort that is done at my own expense, and it is actually not an easy task. And I've also been doing morning stints on Thursdays with Radio Skid Row, which is another very handmade grassroots radio show down in Marrickville. And the Radio Skid Row interviews that I'm doing will also be up on Truth News regularly too, and I've got another one from today. So this is actually my second radio show for the day, and my brain is struggling a little bit. I had a late night last night and a very early morning today, but I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to continue to bring you the information as best I can. Now, we've heard a lot about the controversy over the Copyright Acts that were foiled in the US Congress, namely as PIPA and SOPA, which as a result of a fairly sustained campaign from a number of organizations, were not taken to the next step by the US government. And apparently Obama himself has recognized that these acts which were due to be brought into the US government are not a good idea. However, in the heels of that, there is another international trade agreement, the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, which is known as ACTA, which has actually been around for several years. And ACTA is an international treaty rather than being the legislation that will be brought in by an individual country. And, of course, many people have been talking about ACTA and have been aware of it for many years, but it sort of got forgotten a little bit in the recent controversy over SOPA and PIPA. But it actually has provisions in there that are in many ways more disturbing than were in the previous acts that we were talking about that were really only relating to the US government. And this is an international treaty, and any current country that signs onto it will be bound by the laws and the way it affects the laws of the sovereignty of the nations that actually sign up to it. And I have with me today to discuss ACTA in detail and the threats that it proposes to our democracy, I have Rochelle McCready, who's a regular on this show, and she will be guiding us through some of the questions and some of the concerns about the anti-copyright trade agreement. For some reason, I have great difficulty saying that. Rochelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Harold. Thank you for having me on.
It's a real tongue twister, that ACTA, and it sort of messes with my head. Rochelle, I'd love you to basically break it down and just step us through what it is. When did it, first emerge? I know it's been going a long time, like they've been talking about it for years. And what's the current state of it? What threats does it pose to our democracy? What will be the on-the-ground, practical results of it? And then we'll talk about what we can possibly do to prevent it, especially in Australia.
All right, Harold. I'll just preface what I say by telling people that I'm a lawyer and I'm also a science graduate. So I just want people to know that I've looked at the text of these things and that I'm not talking as a lay person. And I'm also a member. I'm not sort of any sort of official spokesperson for the organisation, but I'm also a member of EFA, Electronic Frontiers Australia. I joined recently and I suggest that people do join and take an active role in opposing this. Now, ACTA was ratified in October, I think it was the 11th of October 2011. And it was, it wasn't ratified, pardon me, I'll start again. ACTA was signed in October 2011. Now, there are two stages to a treaty. ACTA is a treaty. The first thing is with a treaty is there's the formal signing, and the second is the ratification, which is where the law in that treaty is made part of the country who is a signatory to the treaty. Now, the second formality hasn't as yet taken place in Australia. But more of that later. I mean, we still can stop ACTA, but there are some other nasty treaties to which Australia was a signatory that involve copyright that we need to also oppose.
Right.
So what I should tell you is ACTA is the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement and that it hasn't as yet become part of the law of this country. And what ACTA will do, if it is ratified, is that it will kill YouTube in its present form and it will kill Twitter and Facebook. It's going to kill social media. But it's going to do a hell of a lot worse. Now, people who promote ACTA tell you that I watched a video on YouTube. This video on, called What is ACTA? It's an English video and it's very informative. Now, the stated aims of ACTA are that it's, the idea is to protect intellectual property. It's to prevent the production of counterfeit goods.
Right.
It's to prevent the misuse of trademarks. It will safeguard research investments and developments of products, and it's supposed to protect medical patents and pharmaceutical products. It's also supposed to support journalists, musicians and artists to produce high-quality work and to harmonise international copyright law. Now, all this sounds pretty harmless, but you see, the word counterfeit has a meaning in the dictionary, and counterfeit means a fraudulent imitation of something else. But when you copy a file on a computer and you're engaging in file sharing, what you've copied is exactly the same as the original file. So it's not a fraudulent copy. It's not counterfeit. And the other thing that is said is that when you copy, when you engage in file sharing, you download music that's copyright, is you're stealing. Now, theft actually has a technical definition in law. There are two elements to theft. One is animus furandi, which is the mental intention to commit a felony, and the other is the asportation, which is the taking and carrying away of the chattel with the intention to permanently deprive the owner of the possession.
Can you just repeat those two words again, just again for our listeners, that those two Latin terms?
Yes, animus furandi is that's the intention to commit a felony. What animus furandi is it's the intention to permanently deprive the owner of the possession of the object.
Right.
And the asportation is the taking and carrying away of the object.
Okay.
Now, people who download things or engage in file sharing on the internet are not doing this because they haven't permanently deprive the owner of the possession of the property at all. The property is still in their possession. They still have the music or film or whatever it is. And they're not taking it and carrying it away. All they're doing is simply sharing a copy of this thing for free. So it's complete rubbish. It's bunk to say that it's counterfeiting or that it's stealing. This is simply not the case. These people are lying to people.
Yes, there is no intent to deprive someone of the thing. Now,
no.
I've never heard this used before. I've never heard this term, the anti-furandi.
The animus, A-N-I-M-U-S, furandi, F-U-R-A-N-D-I.
Animus furandi. And this means
furandi,
the intent to deprive an
the owner of the possession.
Yes.
The intention to permanently deprive the owner of the possession. Like, it's not animus furandi.
No, there's no deprivation, like, because the original owner still has it. You simply have a perfect copy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's got to be an intention to permanently deprive. If I see your pen on the desk and I need to borrow it to write something, and I grab your pen without asking you and intending to say, oh, look, Hereward, I just borrowed your pen. I'm sorry, I didn't have anything to write down a telephone number. I mean, I've taken that pen and, say, removed it to another room, to another phone, but that's not an intention to permanently deprive because I put it back. It's got to be, you know, like, I own this now. And certainly neither element is involved in file sharing. So it's complete rubbish what they're telling people. And, you know, the really bad thing about ACTA is that intellectual property is not defined. It could be a trademark, it could be an idea or information which could later be copyrighted, restricted and criminalised. I mean, the vagueness will have a huge effect on the internet.
Well, have you heard, Rochelle, that it's actually illegal technically to take photographs of the Opera House? Because I've actually got this on good authority that it is technically illegal. If you're wandering around at Circular Quay and you take some snaps of the Opera House, technically that is a copyright infringement. Now, that's how ludicrous our laws are in relation to copyright. But, of course, in practice it never gets enforced, but it does get enforced sometimes. If you go down to the Circular Quay with professional-looking gear and set up a tripod, you are likely to be actually accosted by an authority and demanded a license. But when you're a tourist, they basically leave you alone. That's got nothing to do with the law. That's just to do with the fact that they can't be harassing tourists all the time. But that is actually how ridiculous it is already in this country.
Well, I'd like to say something about this. People should never leave, allow repressive laws to come into existence and say, look, I know the government could do this, but
exactly.
they wouldn't. Never rely on the goodwill of the government, because the government of today may be all right, but the government of tomorrow may not be. And politicians usually don't pass laws unless they intend to use them. Now, there's a saying, like, a population, if the popular, well, I'm going to paraphrase it, but a nation of sheep begets a government of wolves.
Indeed, yes, I use that
and
myself
that's
today.
That's one thing that people must understand. Anyway, right.
Anyway, continue,
now,
yes.
What I'll give you a hypothetical example of how ACTA could work. Supposing, this is from the web video, I just want to give credit to where credit's due. Supposing a bloke goes and does a cookery course and he learns how to make an interesting recipe, and he comes home and he teaches it to his other half, and so they both know now how to make the recipe. Well, under ACTA, that's illegal. It makes both of them criminals, because only one person has paid to learn the information.
Yes.
So they're not allowed to share it with anyone else.
Incredible.
For free. Now, the consequences are clear under ACTA. Depending on which country you live, you could be barred from doing any further courses, fined or actually imprisoned. Now, people say, well, this is not going to happen. This is ridiculous. This is in your own home. But what you must understand is that ACTA also uses excessive surveillance to enforce this. Now, the thing is that all communications are going to be monitored. They will monitor the communications of your family and of your friends. Now, let's see how it will work in relation to the internet. And we're told that we think of our computers as being a two-way conveyor belt.
We've just got a break coming up, Rochelle. That is an absolutely shocking piece of information you just delivered there. And, you know, I really actually want that to sink in. And I'd like the listener to just ponder on that, the implications of what Rochelle just said. And we will be right back to continue this straight after the break.
Corn and Bullion is a family-owned and operated business that has helped many families and friends in protecting their assets, and we would like to do the same for you. In addition to coins and bullion, we now offer Patriot safes, ammunition, Berkey water products, gift certificates, wristbands, and our new silver pool, a new way to guarantee silver by prepaying at a locked price. We can even help you set up a metals IRA account. Call us at 512-646-6440 for more details. As always, we buy, sell, and trade precious metals and cater to those with all sizes of coin collections. We're located at 7304 Burnett Road, Suite A, about a half a mile north of Koenig, next to the Ikebon Sushi and the Genie Car Wash. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturdays, 10 to 5. Visit us at CapitalCoinAndBullion.com or call 512-646-6440.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner, or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com, or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Welcome back to Truth News. Today I'm talking to Rochelle McCready about ACTA, the Anti-Copyright Trade Agreement, which is an international treaty, which is absolutely frightening in terms of what its implications are for freedom, for ordinary human activities, But it follows in the wake of so many changes to our law and so many restrictions of our freedom that do not think that it is that we are exaggerating in what we are saying here. We are already in a situation where laws have been put in place that are incredibly restrictive, but simply people are either not aware of them or they're getting away with it because the laws aren't being enforced. And that is not a situation that we can allow. We have to roll back the law in principle, because later on, governments and powers may come in force that use these laws in an incredibly repressive way. Now, I'd just like you to please continue, Rochelle, with your explication there of how these scenarios would actually unfold in reality.
Well, what happens is that under ACTA, your ISP would be forced to police all information coming into your computer and going out to ensure that there's no copyright material on it. So so they'll have to open up every single packet of information coming into your computer and every single packet of information going out via your internet connection. Now, one thing here is that it's said that the three strikes and you're out rule doesn't apply. Well, it may well apply. It's not mandatory, but that doesn't say that it can't be made to apply. So the three strikes and you're out rule could still apply. If your ISP said, well, I'm very sorry, but you've provided a link to a website that where there's copyright information, and you also did the same thing on Tuesday, and you also did the same thing on Wednesday, then I'm afraid we're going to have to bar you from using the internet.
And this would be an outcome of the treaty if the treaty was signed into law. Correct?
Yeah, it would, yes. I mean, this is entirely possible.
Yes, and indeed, and this has been proposed in other countries. It was proposed in France a couple of years ago, and it actually ended up being shot down by the Council of Europe, I believe, which said it was an infringement against human rights for the internet to be actually cut off. The internet is now like water, or air almost, in terms of its importance for human life. So much of our existence now relies on the internet that simply shutting it off is actually an infringement of human rights. What do you think about that principle, Rochelle?
Well, I think it's true. I mean, I think the internet's the equivalent of the unified field in the relative, and I think it's an absolutely amazing invention, and I don't think people should be shut off from the internet because there's such a flow of information on that. There's so much good stuff, and I think people need to ensure that they don't have the internet shut off. I think the most valuable thing about the internet is it's almost instant two-way communication around the world. And the reason why politicians and want to get the internet reined in is because people can find out about what they've been doing, and they can also find out about the actions of corrupt bureaucrats. And these people don't want people finding out about these things. So they're using all these things to try to silence people. They're also using ACTA to silence their critics and their opponents. It's a device that's been put in place with one stated reason, but it's really there to attack freedom of speech. Now, I'll tell you how ludicrous ACTA could be. Supposing somebody videos a wedding and there's copyright music being played, then that is a breach of ACTA. So it could be fatal for any sort of user-generated content, like music or videos. So, as I've said, YouTube and Twitter won't be able to survive under this sort of regime. Now, you think, well, all the money made from this will go to the people who, the authors and the artists and the journalists, but the thing is that they're going to lose out too because they're held by the same rules. Protected ideas can no longer be reused and they can't be further refined. Even sentences could be protected by copyright under ACTA. And the only people who are going to benefit from this is a part of the industry to whom we'll refer to as the content mafia, like media publishing companies. For example, RIAA or MPAA.
And, of course, Hollywood. Don't ever forget Hollywood.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, that's part of the whole thing. But, see, the reason why they're doing this is because they have a completely out-of-date marketing model. They've got a very arrogant marketing model that treats consumers like fodder. It's a top-down thing. what they want to do is they want to tell people what they can have rather than listening to consumers. But I'll go into that a bit further.
Sure.
What ACTA is it's the result of these people lobbying within governments, and they participated in these agreements. Now, these negotiations were conducted in secret without any public participation, and people were not told the consequences. And I'm appalled that Australia's, I believe it was the Foreign Minister, but I stand to be corrected on that, if I was wrong, signed this treaty without any sort of public consultation. Now, it's ACTA is a great tool for suppression, and once this legislation is in place, virtually any material the government doesn't like can be claimed to be copyright. Now, I'll just the consequences of ACTA are, I'll just go into this, it's internet censorship, it's restricted freedom of speech, it's loss of net neutrality due to the restriction of certain protocols.
Can we just define net neutrality, just for our audience? Net neutrality, as I understand it, is the guarantee that all traffic that's on the internet will be treated equally, so that whichever website you visit in your browser, it will load potentially as quickly as any other, which is a kind of, it's a democratization of the internet, which means that, you know, my, for example, truthnews.com.au can be accessed just as easily as cnn.com, and it's a very important plank of the free internet. Anyway, please continue.
All right. It's total surveillance of all of your online activities. It's loss of freedom and restrictions of civil rights, and it can involve punishments like being sued, being imprisoned, and losing your internet connection. Now, the thing about ACTA is that it goes much further. Forbes magazine had an article, which I read, and I've produced part of it here. It appears to go much further than that, because it's also cracking down on generic drugs and making food patents and even more radical than that, it's enforcing a global standard on seed patents that threatens local farmers and food independence across the developed world. Now, this is despicable. This is allowing people like Monsanto and the genetic engineers to well and truly just move in and have even more sanctions on their side so they can poison us with their bloody genetically modified food.
Yes.
Now, some of the problems with ACTA is that it contains global IP provisions that are as restrictive or worse than anything in SOPA or PIPA. It spans virtually all of the developed world, threatening the freedom of the internet as well as the access to medication and food. The threat is every bit as real for those countries involved as the signatories as those who aren't. It has already been signed by many countries, including the US, but it requires ratification in the EU Parliament. Let's hope the ratification doesn't happen. And it was written and hammered out behind closed doors, as I've said, by shadowy figures who are not elected for the most part. They're not responsible to the public. They get in there and they just push their own best interests.
Now, I find that part of it particularly fascinating, is that the treaty itself was done in secret. And I remember reading about this a couple of years ago. That's just incredible, isn't it? That there was no transparency in terms of the... But, I mean, it has to be public at some point, surely. I mean, is it public now?
No, people haven't been told about this. I mean, you only find out about these things basically in the alternative media. I'd like to say something that... My father was like a lot of men in his generation. My father was a member of the British Armed Forces during the Second World War.
Yeah.
He joined a Highland Regiment, and he was the only survivor of his regiment. He was on leave in London. We had a place in London, and an aunt died. My understanding was that my father was on leave, and the rest of his regiment got wiped out. Now, what happened is he joined the British Navy. He fought in the British Navy for the duration of the war. Now, that guy gave 5 years of his life. When he came back, he was a completely changed man, and the changes were not for the better. But my father went to war because he believed it was his responsibility to protect the world from people like Hitler and Mussolini. My father didn't want us to be ruled by corporations. There's another name for rule by corporations, and that is fascism. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think men of his generation, or the men and women of his generation who fought during the Second World War, did their bit to deserve a lot better. Now...
Okay, we might just pause it there. That's good point just to hold there. We want to get back into continuing with what you're describing there. And I want to also highlight in the next segment some of the previous attention that this act has received, and also to continue with this question of the secrecy aspect of the way this treaty has been hammered out.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Could printed books soon be a thing of the past? Apparently, a lot of kids these days are exchanging book pages for web pages. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back to tell you what's happening to literacy.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Forget books and magazines. A recent study by the UK's National Literacy Trust found that text messages are the number one reading material for kids today, and numbers 2 and 3 are email and Facebook. That's not surprising, since cell phones and computers outnumber novels in most homes. We adults are obviously not setting a very good example. Of course, text messages are not known for their literary quality or for their outstanding spelling and grammar. In fact, they're some of the worst writing around. So if you want your kids to develop basic English skills, tell them to unplug from Facebook and turn off Twitter, then hand them an old-fashioned book. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia. Today's show is all about ACTA, the Anti-Counterfeit Trade Agreement, which has been negotiated secretly around the world by governments and is now being signed into law in some countries, particularly European Union states. Which has actually generated protests. I've just got an article here from The Guardian, which I thought I'd just drop in. ACTA protests break out as EU states sign up to the treaty. MEPs of 21 EU states, including the UK, have signed off on the controversial anti-counterfeiting trade agreement. The UK and 21 other European member states signed an international copyright agreement, sparking demonstrations by internet users who have protested for days, both virtually and physically, over fear it will lead to online censorship. Following the signing, protesters rallied in the Polish cities of Poznan and Lublin to express their anger over the treaty. Lawyers for the left-wing Palikots movement wore masks in parliament to show their dissatisfaction, while the largest opposition party, the right-wing Law and Justice Party, called for a referendum on the matter. So it's being signed into law in Europe, and there's huge protests about it taking place. Now, I'd just like to return, Rochelle, to where we were at before, and you were talking about the fascistic implications of, I believe, secrecy, or perhaps you could just step us through that again, just briefly and quickly.
Well, you see, the corporations are writing the laws. Under classical fascism, the state controls the corporations, but under modern fascism, which is what we have now, the corporations control the state. The state's being completely corporatized, and these corporate criminals are getting in private, meeting with government people, and they're saying, we want this, and they're telling them what to do because the corporations want to rule the world. And that's what's happening. I mean, this is why a generation of people went and fought during the Second World War to stop this from happening, and now it's happening.
It's such a good point. You know, my mother also was in the Second World War, and so was my father. I'm just old enough to have parents who have been in that, who were in those wars, and you know, they fought for the freedoms which have now been all taken away. And I was actually I was talking to my mother about this, and I was saying, look, you know, Mum, everything you did as a young woman has now been undermined, and you know, she kind of agrees, but a lot of people have trouble seeing it. Anyway, sorry, just an aside.
Yeah. Anyway, look, there is worse news on the way, and what these globalists have done is they've got another nasty piece of legislation in case ACTA goes down. And according to the Electronic Frontier Foundation in America, there's another plurilateral agreement, and it's the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which adopts a chapter on IP enforcements that would have state signatories adopt even more restrictive copyright measures than ACTA. Similarly, negotiations over the TPP are also held in secret, with very little scrutiny by the public or civil society. And these initiates are negotiated without any participation from the public, and this is a complete affront to democracy.
They're just going to wear us down with a, you know, an incomprehensible stream of acronyms and, you know, abbreviations that you're going to, it's just going to be a blur, and you're going to get sick of it, and you're going to give up because you won't even understand it anymore.
Now, I've got something absolutely scandalous to tell people. I got this from Mike Mozart's video, which has gone viral on YouTube. And it's a wonderful video.
Sure.
It's what these dirty corporate people who want to stop free speech and bring in legislation like ACTA and that other Trans-Pacific Agreement haven't told you is that they are the people who, like, marketed the software to enable people to download the things from the internet that they now, for which they now want to sue people. They want to make criminals out of people for using software that they sell to the public.
Which organisations particularly are we talking about?
Well, CBS Viacom.
Right.
And there's a subsidiary of that called CBS Interactive. Now, there are three subsidiaries of CBS Interactive: CNET, Download.com, and ZNET. And these are the companies that have made millions of dollars through promoting and selling the very same file sharing software that they now want to prosecute people for. And, you know, do you really want your representatives signing away your lives and the lives of your children to these evil foreign interests, these damn multinational companies? I think it's just absolutely amazing. Like, the people who are involved in this are CBS Television, and the CNET division of CBS has an almost exclusive distribution of LimeWire, Kazaa, Morpheus, BitTorrent, Azirius, and Booz.
Is that right?
And these are the people who've been making a fortune out of it, and they now want to turn you into criminals. Now, on the
is that right? So a lot of people probably don't know that. So you're saying BitTorrent, the
yes.
technology of BitTorrent is actually owned by CBS?
The people who want to sue you for using it, they sell you it, and then they want to sue you for using it.
Well, of course, but BitTorrent is actually free. I use it a lot.
No, they sell it. No, well, they sell it. They market it, but they want to make criminals out of the people who use it. Now, they estimate that 25% of net users engage in file sharing. That's their estimates. I mean, that figure may well be dodgy, but these people want to make criminals out of 25% of the people who use the internet. That's on their own.
But of course, that's another feature of a fascist society, isn't it? You know, basically everything becomes criminalized, so the state has total power to arrest you whenever they need to because almost everyone's a criminal.
You see, people in Germany said only criminals need to fear Hitler. The ordinary German citizen has nothing to fear. And Hitler killed 200,000 ordinary German citizens. In the end, Hitler made everybody a criminal because he was given power of life and death over every German citizen.
Yeah.
That will make everyone into criminals. Now, I want to point out the really evil consequences about ACTA and there's another piece of legislation we need to squash too. Yeah. Now, supposing a family has a 14-year-old girl and she downloads a song that's copyright from the internet, and the song is copyright in China, or she can just sort of download, she could have a link to another website or Facebook or something that they claim has copyright infringing material. Now, nobody actually has to be tried or convicted in a court of law.
Right.
A claim that a person has copyright infringing material is sufficient. Now, what can happen is this child can be extradited and sent to China, and this will completely bypass all judicial review. The courts, not the courts, nor all the king's horses or all the king's men or the prime minister, no, Julia Gillard herself, nobody will be able to stop this once this agreement has come into force. They can send this 14-year-old girl off to China to a re-education camp. How do you think she's going to get on in China if she doesn't even speak the language? Now, I mean, how do you think she's going to get on if they decide to start harvesting her organs so that they can be sold to some $300 million a year CEO in America's wife? You know, we'll take one of her kidneys, we'll take one of her lungs, we'll take half a liver, because somebody needs to buy those organs. And this is the sort of thing that's been happening in China. Organs have been harvested from prisons.
Why not? Yeah, it's just business.
Oh, it's just appalling. So the really important thing is to understand is that it bypasses the courts. And if this becomes part of the law of Australia, there won't be any recourse to legal, to judicial review. Now, if you think these people are not extreme, I'd like to give you an example of what the copyright lobby has done already. This is just a few examples. Sure. RIAA sued a family who didn't even have a computer and 234 others for file sharing. They've also attempted to sue dead people. Well, I guess suing dead people's reasonable, Herald, because the dead still vote, don't they?
Right.
And Jamie Rassett Thomas, a single mother, has been sued for $1.9 million for downloading 24 songs. Now, here's an even worse case. There's a young man in England, 23 years of age, whose name is Richard O'Dwyer, and he's a 23-year-old British student, and he is facing extradition proceedings over linking copyright material on his website. And if you think these people are not extreme, think again. What Mr. O'Dwyer did was not a crime in England. So here we have this ACTA treaty, which will be enforcing criminal sanctions from one country in another. And there's been a big no-no in international law about that for years. There was a very famous case in Australia. It's called McLeod and the Attorney General. And it's an authority for the principle that you can't exercise extraterritorial jurisdiction. What happened is that Mr. McLeod was a New South Welshman and he went over to America and contracted a bigamous marriage. He then came back to Australia and the New South Wales Attorney General attempted to prosecute Mr. McLeod for bigamy. But you see, the bigamy wasn't carried out in Australia. Mm. It was in the United States. They were very quickly sorted out over that. I mean, the McLeod principle has been
This treaty will completely bypass the judicial review, the normal procedures that occur in a country, so that a person can be just extradited without any. There won't be any appeals or anything. Is that the way it will
no
be?
No appeals. I mean, you could be in Sydney, you could do something. It isn't an offence in Sydney, but it could be in New Mexico, and you could be. Just that the police could come in with their guns drawn, they could grab you and they could put you on a plane. You have violated Mexican copyright law. You are going off to a jail in Mexico.
Yes.
And I mean, if you think Chappelle Corby's got it bad...
We're just going to break now. Sorry, Rochelle. Straight after the break, we'll continue. Thanks.
The Oklahoma City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2, why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who was on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, "Is that why we got the page to not come in today?" end quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they had been in an all-night stakeout, or that they had been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did the ATF receive a warning, and if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the Mirabelle? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
When you're sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Welcome back to the show. Well, in this final segment, we want to wrap it up. We want to drive it home. We want to inspire you to take some steps. That last little scenario you mapped out there, Rochelle, should again highlight the cruel reality of this. And I was also thinking about Julian Assange. Yes. When you were describing the story there, because see, Julian Assange is they're trying to extradite Julian Assange.
Yes.
And he's under threat of extradition for, well, disclosing information which is actually copyrighted. I mean, when you think about it, that is actually why they want to get Assange to the US. Forget about the Swedish thing, which seems to be just a ploy to get him out of the UK. But obviously the Americans want to get a hold of Julian Assange because, yes, he's breached copyright of, you know, the massacre there in Baghdad, which was one of the most, you know, shocking things that WikiLeaks had exposed. And I guess under an ACTA treaty, it wouldn't be too hard at all to get him out of the country and just whisk him off.
Well, I think the thing is with ACTA, anything that governments don't want people to know can be declared to be a breach of copyright, and they don't. There's no onus on them to prove things. So under criminal law, the way it works in this jurisdiction, I mean, under British justice, is that you're innocent until proven guilty. And the onus of proof is on the prosecution. They have to prove a person guilty beyond reasonable doubt. And ACTA will just simply do away with this. A mere accusation is sufficient. Now, I'll just move on. I have a fair amount of ground to cover, Harewood. I think there are some really important things that people need to know about this.
Okay, I'll give you the floor for the rest of the show. We've probably got about another 12 minutes
I'll attempt to get through it very quickly. Now, sure. I've talked to Kimberly Heitman from Electronic Frontiers Australia, and he pointed out that the last round of changes to the Copyright Act under the US Free Trade Agreement, which, amongst other things, criminalised non-commercial copying and made digital blocks paramount over fair use rights, certainly allow criminal sanctions. And it depends on how the High Court interprets things, how they interpret the view of authorising infringements. But the Australian government has actually taken the view that it doesn't really need to formally adopt a parliament a parliamentary provision to adopt ACTA. So we've got to, they think that they have sufficient under this US-Australia Free Trade Agreement, so we really do have to knock both on the head. Right. Now, I'd just like to say that Article 41 of ACTA provides a withdrawal, and we can also withdraw from the US Free Trade Agreement. The Democrats and the Greens wanted to do this. They did not want it. They did not want Australia to be a signatory to this. Now, what I would like to talk about is the claims that net piracy are flawed. Electronic Frontiers Australia, Colin Jacobs, wrote an article, and the claim is that downloading films is costing the industry over $1 billion a year. Now, he treats this with extreme scepticism. The reason is that the industry has a habit of crying wolf. And if you look at the film industry, you'll find they've been doing this ever since the film industry has existed. And what they do is they try to drum up support for tougher laws. But you see, the factors that they don't take into account is they're treating downloads as lost economic activity. Well, that's flawed. And downloaders are actually some of the entertainment industry's best customers. And also they completely ignore the effects to the wider economy of money being spent elsewhere in Australian-owned businesses. So we've got flawed logic here. Now, what they need to do instead of waging war against their customers and trying to get the government to help is to change their and give people a better alternative to peer-to-peer networks. And history shows that customers are happy to pay a fair price for something. Now, I'll just tell people very quickly how peer-to-peer started. The record companies like Sony refused to produce the sort of music people often wanted to listen to, which was golden oldies. Right. And they said, no, we're only going to give you the top 40. So people started file sharing. Now, if they'd had a brain in their head, what they would have done is made digital copies of these songs available to people on the internet for about $3 a pop. They could have made a fortune because there are very few overheads involved. But instead of that, they just said, no, we'll tell you what you can have. So I really, it's their marketing model that's completely out of date. They want to destroy freedom of speech, make criminals out of 25% of net users, force, you know, seed patents on us, force the abolition of generic medicines, and all kinds of things to support an out-of-date business model. So that's what is going on about this. Now, what I'd just like to tell people about is that just before I leave this, parents should think very carefully that if their 14-year-old gets snatched for allegedly violating copyright in China, you know, then child services are likely to pounce on the rest of the family, round up all the other kids and take them too, because the family must be bad people for allowing the law to be broken. They need to think about these kind of things. Yes. Now, Herod, very importantly, what we must do is look at how to get around this. Thomas Jefferson said, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty.
Indeed.
Now, what we need to do is we need to adopt a completely new approach where we have to take back the government from the elite stooges and appointees, and we need grassroots campaigns. Now, what people need to do, the most effective strategy for combating this is for people to go to visit their local MP, and I'm talking about their federal MP, not their state MP. There's no point in going to see their state MP about this. They should go to see the Member of Commonwealth Parliament. Now, if you don't know how to find out who they are, you should go to the Australian Electoral Commission website, and you can Google that and you can find out. Now, what you need to do about getting an appointment is to ring up your local MP and ask for an appointment to see them. And if the person said, well, I'm sorry, Mr. or Ms. So-and-so can't possibly see you, they're too busy with other things, then you say, well, then I'd like to see somebody else, thank you.
Right.
I'd like to see their PA or somebody else. So make sure you see a member of their staff, because the important thing is the foot through the door. Now, what you need to do, don't go in to see them with a dray load of documents. And don't hand them a submission that would, you know, choke an elephant, because they're not going to read it. Politicians are busy people. And what you need to do is prepare a sort of a 10-point plan, no more than two A4 pages. But please do reference everything. in that plan. Every criticism you have of ACTA, you need to reference it. Now, what I can do, Herewood, is I can put the material I have, I can make it available to you.
Great.
And perhaps you could give it to people. So you're going to see them with a summary that's 10 points long.
Yeah.
Now, be polite. Tell them that you're concerned about the impact of ACTA that it will have on the society. But what you must let them know is that you are only prepared to support a candidate who will vote against ACTA being implemented. It's very important that you deliver that message. Now, politics is a numbers game. If every electorate in Australia receives 10 visits from people who are prepared to take the time to go and see their local MP, I've done it. I've done it over things I consider it to be a public duty, and I've tried to heavy other people into doing it. Some people just won't do it.
And yes.
What they need to do is they need to really get off their couches, get away from the sport on television, get away from the beer, and take the time to safeguard their future and their children's futures, and go and see their MP over this legislation, because it is extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
Now, you see, politicians don't have a death wish. If they get a visit from people, politicians take very little notice of emails. People say, well, send them an email. Look, emails get read by people a long way down the food chain, and the politicians don't get to read them. So an email's not much good. If you can't do anything else, it's probably marginally better than nothing else as a phone call, but the most effective thing is to go and see them. Now, if you're not going to do that, write them a letter snail mail. And tell them in a succinct way why you're opposed to ACTA, and let them know in the letter that you're only prepared to support a candidate who will vote against this treaty being implemented in Australia. So make sure that you do that. Now, the reason why snail mail works better is because it shows your level of commitment, but by far the more effective thing is to actually go and see them. So we should get on to our friends, and we should arrange for them to go and see the local member. Now, there are other things that you can do. You can go viral with this information. And what you can do is you can sign up for media sites like Dig and read it. And you can publish it there. You can make a copy. You can write a blog about it and post it on the internet. And what you can do is you can put out tweets about it. Then you can either copy the post from the original site or the major points from it and write a post and include a link back to the post. Write a comment about it, and please post this on video sharing websites. Go viral with the information. That's the way to do it. So
I think it would be great if you can provide those bullet points, because a lot of people won't know quite where the strongest arguments are, and you know, we've all got different things that we focus on, and I've actually got my own particular slant on this, because on a philosophical level, and particularly after what you said about those two legal principles, I don't believe even if this is causing a deprivation of profits, or you know, even if this is causing the copyright, record industries, or whoever they are, to lose money, that does not entitle them to say that this is a criminal behavior or that this is theft. Because every form of technology that comes in destabilizes and disrupts previous economies. It happened when cars came in, and
that's
the horse
right.
and buggies
that's
obviously
right.
lost business. They lost revenue. Well,
it's just because they're dinosaurs. They need to either change their business model or roll over and die.
Indeed.
Now, in the end, these people do benefit through keeping up with change. That they thought that they were screaming and whining and saying that, you know, like audio tapes would send them broke. They haven't. Basically, they're sticking to outdated. These dinosaurs want to stick to outdated marketing models.
Rochelle, we're just coming to the end. Thank you today. It's been awesome. And we'll definitely get that information up online, and we're going to do more interviews on this, and I'd like to get you on Radio Skid Row sometime over the next few weeks for another in-depth.
Yes, I'd love to. Now, I'll just leave you with this statement.
We've got about 5 seconds.
Right. Ye are many, they are few, and that's what you've got to remember. There are a hell of a lot more of us than there are of them.
That's it from us. Good night. Cheers, Rochelle.
Cheers.
The Bible remains the most popular book in the world, yet countless readers are frustrated because they struggle to understand it. Some new translations try to help by simplifying the text, but in the process can compromise the profound meaning of the scripture. Enter the Recovery Version. First, this new translation is extremely faithful and accurate, but the real story is the more than 9,000 explanatory footnotes. Difficult and profound passages are opened up in a marvelous way, providing an entrance into the riches of the Word beyond which you've ever experienced before. Bibles for America would like to give you a free Recovery Version simply for the asking. This comprehensive yet compact study Bible is yours just by calling us toll-free at 1-888-551-0102 or by ordering online at freestudybible.com. That's freestudybible.com.